Hello and welcome back to the Football Postcast here on the Racing Post, and the start of the new football season is so nearly upon us. We have so much to talk about today, including outright fancies for each of the top four English divisions and also individual tips for each of this weekend's Premier League action, as well as the best of the rest. To go through all of that, I'm with the wonderful Mark Langdon and Liam Flynn of the Racing Post Sport Desk, as well as Jason Murphy from Paddy Power. Gents, before we get into all of that, I want to quickly give a nod to the big kickoff pullout. It was in Tuesday's edition of the Racing Post. 64 pages of footballing goodness. I've been engrossed in it ever since that day. You've probably missed the print edition, but you can get it online. Just type in the big kickoff Racing Post into Google or whatever search engine you use, and you should be able to find it. Well worth a read. Mark, let's come to you first. Premier League is, as I said, so nearly upon us. We'll be going through each of the individual fixtures throughout this show. But at the top of the show today, I want to talk about your outright bet for each of the divisions. And Mark, we'll start with the Premier League.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think the Premier League is probably the hardest one of the lot, really, Jack, because I agree with the market to a large extent about Manchester City. I can't bring myself to back them at that price, given that I thought Liverpool were, if not 18 points better than Manchester City. I think that they some of their achievements, because it wasn't done spectacularly on expected goals, have been downplayed a little bit in betting circles. You know, I felt like they were in control of a lot of their matches and were maybe not going as gung-ho as what we maybe saw at the start of Klopp's reign. You know, he maybe realised that they'd gone off a little bit too quickly in matches or in seasons, and you can't do that for the whole time. So I still don't think City, as we speak now, have resolved their big issues. And they lost a lot of matches last season, particularly in those big away games where they came up short. And then in the Champions League, they came up short against a, you know, a very average Lyon team by the standards of Champions League quarterfinalists. So I'm going to go for Liverpool.
Yeah, Jason, I agree with Mark. And I'd love to get your kind of perspective here about what the thinking is behind Liverpool's price, because the majority of people I've spoken to all agree that Liverpool's price seems quite big.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about backing at the right price. But for me, I think the prices are right, and I think City will win the league. What feeds into it is, you know, people talk about XG from last year, but, you know, there's a lot of stats padding with Man City when they're winning games, you know, a couple of 5-0s and 8-0. But for Liverpool, it's just Liverpool cannot perform any better next season. They won 14 games by a single goal margin. There's a lot of luck that goes into that. You know, they're very much on the right side of variance. And if you watch the Amazon documentary, the Man City one, you know, there's great clips in that of Klopp talking about moments when they were playing Man City in the Champions League. And I think a lot of moments went right for Liverpool to kind of put up the points tally that they did last season. Whereas, you know, Man City, very unlucky with the Laporte injury. And if you look at their actual record against other top seven clubs, James Milton refers to it in the kickoff. It's a brilliant, absolutely been great reading it this week. You know, they lost 7 of the 12 games against the other top seven clubs. I don't think Man City will have as bad a record again as that. So for me, I just see the gap closing. And again, Simon Giles illustrated very well how it was a perfect storm for Liverpool last season, overperforming on, you know, expected goals for and then expected goals against. So for me, I think Man City win it. And what is a really generous bet out there, there's some people offering Man City 4-5 to win it. We'd actually have 4-5 on the dual forecast at the moment, Man City or Liverpool. So, like, you know, you can get both of them in your pocket there for 4-5, which I think is a very generous bet there at the moment, and is one that's probably worth a look.
Yeah, that's a fair take, Jason. Take that on board, mate. And Liam, what about you? Who are you in agreement with here?
Yeah, I'd kind of echo what Mark said. I think at the prices, Liverpool are a decent value. I don't really understand why City are odds on. I mean, even if they had hit their expected points of around 87 last season, that would have still put them 12 behind Liverpool. And I think you look at what City have done this summer in terms of signings. Nathan Ake is a good addition, but I mean, let's be honest, he's not going to transform that defence. Ferran Torres will add a bit of pace that they've maybe been lacking, but he's still got plenty to learn about the Premier League. He's still a young player. I just still think they're too vulnerable through the centre of defence. I mean, they lost 9 games last term, and I think it's asking a lot for, you know, between such a quick transition between seasons for them to overcome that deficit. If you look at Liverpool, I think in depth they're going to be a bit stronger this season with their younger players, Iraldi and Aneko Williams, Curtis Jones, Harry Wilson, Rian Brewster. I think we'll just make that rotation a little bit easier for Jurgen Klopp. And the fullback from Olympiakos, Tsimikas, I think will also help in that regard. So, yeah, I really just agree with what Mark said. I think at the prices, Liverpool would be a good bet to go and defend their title.
Yeah, another fascinating title race. It's sure to be in the Premier League. Let's have a look at the Championship then. For me, gents, I mean, I was looking at the teams in the division this season and the financial implications that COVID have left certain teams. And I must admit, on my eye, that top six doesn't look as competitive as previous seasons. Mark, I've watched your videos that you've done on the Racing Post YouTube channel, and you're thinking Brentford are going to be strong again, am I right?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Brentford, Jack. I mean, I think it's really unfair to sort of label them as chokers and to, you know, compact their season into what was like three or four games at the end where they didn't quite take their chances in automatic and then in the playoffs. And, you know, they're just being judged on that. Whereas over a 46-match campaign, I think they were the second-best team in the Championship behind Leeds. And then they've sold Watkins. They'll probably sell others on. But they always do that. And they always bring in replacements that turn out to be equally as good, or if not better. I mean, when Mopay came in, nobody was going, oh, this is going to be a Premier League player. When Watkins came in, I don't think anybody expected him to become a £30 million forward. So, I mean, if Brentford think that Ivan Toney's worth up to £10 million, then I'm prepared to believe it and that he can come in and sort of, you know, do that job just as well. I think the fact that Frank's had sort of longer to work with them will also help in that regard. I think the biggest concern and biggest danger could well be Watford, depends what happens there. And as a massive outsider, Barnsley definitely go well.
Yeah, of course. There's still obviously a lot of time left in the transfer window, so squads will surely be different in a month's time. Jason, how are you seeing the Championship going?
Yeah, I'd echo what Mark has said there, as in, you know, believe in the process, and Brentford on the process the last couple of seasons have been getting it right. I wouldn't hold them accountable. I mean, like, West Brom stuttered as well in the last four games, but happened to be the one that got up automatically. And, you know, what happened in the playoff final, you know, it's a coin toss. It could have gone. Fulham played the playoff final really well. And, you know, the first goal, I haven't seen a goal like that, bar maybe Ronaldinho against England in the World Cup, if he meant it. You know, so Brentford have been unlucky, and I'd expect them to take one of the top two spots. I'd be quite happy if I was a Norwich fan. I think it's been a really good business this summer, and I think they have a good season ahead. But while we'll come to it, but for each of the divisions, I'll give you a team that I think are going to have a good season, and therefore you should look to get with them in positive markets. And for the Championship, for me, it's going to be Stoke. Last season, they would have finished fifth on XG. They did a really, really poor start to the season. But very happy, you know, O'Neill coming in there is going to do a fantastic job with them. And I think 14-1, you know, you can back that each way for them to win it outright. Or if you look at the handicap markets, you can get them at 10 points. Looking at the teams below them, it's a very competitive league. I'd be happy, you know, to give away a few points to the teams below them, looking at the handicap table. And I think they can be there or thereabouts come the end of the season, top four with the 10 points. I think, you know, Stoke is a very good team to side with for the coming season in the Championship.
Yeah, big season coming up for Stoke for sure. Liam, what about you? I mean, Norwich, Brentford nearing the top of the market. Are you with either of them or someone a bit different?
I think Norwich, of the relegated sides of the club, I'd be most sort of confident in going straight back up. I don't have any faith in Bournemouth whatsoever. I think they've tried to obviously keep the continuity with Howe leaving, and but replacing him with manager, so we'll see how that goes. In terms of the best bet for the Championship, I just like Cardiff to gain promotion at around 4-1. Of course, promoted Fulham close in the playoffs. They've kept the bulk of their squad together, but they've also added to that a powerful striker in Kiefer Moore from Wigan. So I think they're a decent bet around 4-1 to gain promotion, whether that be automatic or through the playoffs.
Great stuff, Liam. Yeah, it's well worth noting again. We're on a bit of a tight schedule here in the postcast today. If you do want really in-depth analysis of each of the English divisions, head over to the Racing Post YouTube channel. And Mark, as well as others, give their thoughts in lengthy videos. So if you want more, then head over there. Let's have a look at League One outrights then. I mean, I spoke there about the Championship top six maybe not being as competitive as previous seasons, but League One, you've got Peterborough, Oxford, Hull, Sunderland, Charlton, Wigan, Fleetwood, Ipswich, Portsmouth, a whole host of really big clubs in League One this season, Mark. Who are you fancying to go back up?
Yeah, well, what I'm doing here, because of that, I'm not betting each way. I'd rather have two stabs in the win market, because I think if you go each way, you might not collect, because it's going to be tight. The two I like at the prices would be two playoff teams that were beaten last year. One, Portsmouth. There's real negativity around Fratton Park at the moment. They haven't really made any signings, but they weren't far away last year. So I think if John Marquis could actually, score the goals that he should have done last year but didn't, I see no reason really why they shouldn't be bang up there. And then the team that beat them in the playoff semi-final then lost in the final to Wickham. They were Wickhamed as well in that game. I mean, they dominated, just couldn't put the ball in the net. There was some heroic defending, calamitous goalkeeping, etc. But Oxford, they're trending in the right direction. They lost the captain Dickie, but kept a lot of what was good last year. Got a striker in Matty Taylor that should be sort of 20 goals or whatever. So I expect them two to be right up there. But you are correct. Very, very competitive.
Jason, what about you?
Yeah, I'd echo with Mark. I think Oxford United, if you're picking one team to win it, Oxford United is who I tip up. The quality coming down from the Championship isn't as great this year, and therefore anyone that's had a good season last season in League One can expect to ride well again. And Oxford United, I think basically if they had a repeat of last season, they'll get up. They'll get up for the next season. The only concern is probably a lack of depth if the likes of Matty Taylor did get injured. But if Oxford do what they did last season, I'd expect them to get promoted. The team that I think to do really well, and therefore there's a bit of value in the market, I'd go with Blackpool. You can get them 20-1 still available. I know what I take on board the point that Mark is making there, but also plus 11 points on the handicap. Again, expecting Blackpool to be in the top four, top five come the end of the season, I think the 11 points on the handicap is very useful. Obviously, big changes with Neil Critchley coming in from Liverpool, took charge of the two games that Klopp couldn't be there for last season, or well, Liverpool first team squad couldn't be there for, I suppose. But Blackpool have really backed them, bringing in the type of players that he wants, and really good players like Jerry Yates, Keshi Anderson coming in. So I think Blackpool are going to travel well this season. And again, if I'm looking for a bigger price, because it's an anti-post bet, I'd be looking at Blackpool in the positive markets at those bigger prices.
A couple of handicap darts from Jason so far. Lovely to see. And Liam, what about you for League One, mate?
Yeah, I'd say it's a hat-trick of Oxford United bets. Wow. So I want to look at them to gain promotion at 3-1 as well. I mean, they were going very strongly before the season itself was postponed. I mean, they were on a run of wins, again, claiming scalps of Wimbledon, Ipswich, Accrington, South and Shrewsbury. And then, of course, as Mark said, advanced to a playoff final where they were, completely, dominated that game with Wickham, 77% possession, 13 shots to 5. In that final. So I think they're ready to go again. They've got a top striker in Taylor, and then they've bulked up their midfield with the additions of Marcus McGain, Sean Clare and Liam Kelly. So I think that should stand them in good stead for the season as well. So yeah, Oxford to gain promotion at 3-1 rather than going for an outright title bet, I think, for me.
A clean sweep for Oxford. Wow, brilliant stuff. League Two, last of our outright selections for this podcast. Mark, we'll start with you. Again, some big teams at the top of the market here.
There are. Obviously, Bolton are an extremely big fish by League Two standards. And they signed Owen Doyle, who scored to almost double what anybody else managed in the division last year. I don't know about some of their other signings, though. I mean, I'm not mad on them. At the front of the market, I prefer Salford, who obviously helps in the current climate to be backed by a billionaire. You know for a fact they're going to finish the season. Of course, the class of 92, Peter Lim there. And that money's enabled them to sign, really well. Ian Henderson scored 15 goals in League One for Rochdale last season. Tom Clark's come from Preston. Jason Lowe from Bolton. And then you have a look at the likes of Ash Hunter that had already was on loan, and Andrade at Lincoln. He'd come up through this division previously. He was one of the top players in the league. So Turnbull, the centre half, he got promotion with Northampton but stayed down in League Two. And I was speaking to Simon Grayson, and he was saying you know, have a look at Clark, Lowe and Henderson, the spine of the team. All were captains, all previously been captains, so and at a higher level. So I think that's really, you know, a lot of ticks in the Salford box. So I'm going for them. I struggle to see how that they'll be out of the picture. I know I'm supposed to be giving the tips, but I was given a tip for Harrogate as well. So if you want a massive price one, apparently impressed against Tranmere last week, and I spoke to somebody that said there's been some very shrewd money around for them, very well-respected money. So maybe look for them on the handicap.
Lovely stuff, Mark. I know Harrogate seems to get mentioned pretty much every week in the podcast. Jonathan Smith, a big fan of what Harrogate are doing. Oh. Jason, let's have a look at League Two briefly. And what's your fancy here?
Yeah, I'd be avoiding Bolton, and I'd agree with Mark on Salford actually being the better of the front runners. But for me, the fancy in the team I expect to travel well would be Port Vale. Fantastic manager in John Askey. When I was younger, I used to go over to watch Man United, and I used to stay in Macclesfield with a granduncle of mine. So he always had, you know, keep an eye on Macclesfield. John Askey was a fantastic player, and what he did to get them promoted in 2018 under huge financial restraints was incredible. He went to Shrewsbury and was kind of on a hiding to not, and Shrewsbury had just been failed to be promoted the season before and lost a lot of their best players. But since taking over, he you know, he didn't last long there, but coming in at Port Vale, he's had a very good record, I think, so far. And if you look at Port Vale against the top seven last season, they played 12 matches and only conceded 9 goals in those games. So they're very competitive against the top teams in the division as well. So you can get them on the handicap at plus 11 points, or you can get them 16-1 to win in the outright market. And again, have a look at the each way value on them. So Port Vale will be the team that I think are going to, again, run well this season and worth having a look in the positive anti-post markets.
Port Vale, yeah, fancied by Aaron Ashley in the big kickoff as well. Good stuff, Jason. And Liam, finally, your League Two outright selection.
Yeah, I'd go for Tranmere Rovers to gain promotion as opposed to an outright bet around 11-4. I think they are. Obviously, appreciate Mike Jackson's fairly inexperienced manager at this level, but I just really like the business they've done. I thought they were a touch unlucky the way they went down last season, obviously. With that, you know, points per game basis. But the players they brought in, I really like Jay Spearing, Otis Khan. I think James Vaughan obviously brings plenty of experience with him. So that would be the bet for me, Tranmere to gain promotion at 11-4.
There you go then, your Premier League, Championship, League One and League Two anti-post bets. Up next, a look at this week's Premier League action.
Paddy Power are giving all online customers a £5 free bet for Liverpool versus Leeds on Saturday. Just log in and claim. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, welcome back to the Football Postcast here on the Racing Post. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Myself, Jack Reeve, alongside Mark Langdon, Liam Flynn and Jason Murphy. The first game week of the Premier League is here, and the early kickoff on Saturday, the 12th of September, sees Fulham, of course, newly promoted, taking on Arsenal. This one's on BT Sport, and it's a 12:30 kickoff. Jason, a show of the prices, and what's your selection here?
Yeah, we've Fulham at 5-1, the draw 3-1, and Arsenal 8-15 has shortened a little bit from early opening prices. For me, you have to side with an Arsenal win. The last time they played here 2 seasons ago, they won 5-1. They went off about 4-6 at the time for that game. I'm not saying you can give much weight to that, but I just think Fulham will struggle this season. You know, 6 teams scored more goals than them in the Championship. You know, Fulham only scored 64 goals in the Championship, and if you look at the back line that they're coming up with. You know, Tim Ream, Brian, Odie, they were part of the back line that got relegated last time they were in the Premiership, conceding 81 goals. You know, it was a terrible defensive performance. They're going to be very reliant on Mitrovic. You know, 26 goals in the Championship last season. He got 11 of their 34 goals last time they were in the Premier League. So an injury to Mitrovic, and I think you could nearly write Fulham off for this season. Even with a fit Mitrovic, I see them really struggling. So it is first game of the season. I'd be reluctant to back Arsenal at that price, but you could have a look at Fulham in the relegation market at 11-10, or if you're doing any relegation trebles this weekend for the season, I'd have a look at Fulham as being one of those selections.
Yeah, Liam, I mean, Fulham, I mean, I watched a fair bit of them last season in the Championship, and I wouldn't say they were convincing. Do you think they're going to adapt to the Premier League well, or do you think it's going to be a season of struggle for them?
I definitely think it'll be a struggle. Whether or not they'll go down, not entirely sure, but they'll definitely be there or thereabouts. I mean, they've kind of almost adopted the opposite strategy to last time they came up. I mean, they were criticised for their scattergun spending the last time they were promoted. And this year has almost been a bit of a lack of investment beyond that of Anthony Nocaier and Harrison Reed, which I think is concerning because I don't think that's... has got a lot in it, to be fair, in the Premier League. I expect them to lose against a rejuvenated Arsenal side, of course, beat Liverpool in the Community Shield, Man City and Chelsea on their way to the FA Cup. But the bet for me would be Arsenal to win and both teams to score at 11-5. Of course, you know, with Mitrovic up front, Fulham do carry that attacking threat. And both teams scored in 23 of Arsenal's 38 league games last term. Arsenal could also potentially be a bit light defensively. I think David Luiz, Pablo Mari, Shkodran Mustafi and Callum Chambers are all potential doubts. That could open the door for Gabriel or Saliba to make debuts or Rob Holding slot in there. I think all three of those players could be a touch raw. And it will take, I think, the two new additions, although I think they're great long-term acquisitions for Arsenal, it will take them a little bit of time to adjust to the intensity of the Premier League. So I think goals will flow and I think Arsenal will get the better of Fulham in this one.
Mark, what are you sweet on here?
Sort of a bit the opposite, really, of what Liam just said. We're not going to help the listeners, but I was looking at Arsenal to win and under 3.5 goals, just because if you have a look at the way that Fulham played in the second half of the season, no doubt that Scott Parker tightened them up, and you saw the way they shut down Brentford in the Championship playoff final, a very good Brentford side as well. And you know, I think that he'll do the same. Harrison Reed, good signing for them. Hector is the one that's come in that wasn't there before that I think has made a big difference to them at centre-half. Areola, the goalkeeper as well, coming in on loan from Paris Saint-Germain. I think that just helps them defensively. I'm not mad on Mitrovic. I'm not as big a Mitrovic fan as most people. And I think Arsenal tightened up as well under Arteta. So it's not just about the personnel, but the structure. So also think as well, short international week, not much preparation time. We saw it might not be a classic, but Arsenal to win.
Okay, that's the first game of the Premier League season ticked off. Let's move on to the next. It's Crystal Palace against Southampton, a 3 p.m. kickoff. And Jason, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so with Palace 21-10, the draw 21-10, and Southampton 13-10, which is shortened since opening prices came out. Firstly, just on Palace, I think they're going to have a really difficult season ahead. Last season, on expected points, they would have survived by only the single point. There's a terrible run of results post-lockdown, only 1 point in 8 games. Only scored 31 goals, and 8 of the 11 games that they won was only by a single goal. I referred about Liverpool yesterday being the right side of variance last season. I think Palace were as well. You can get 9-4 on Palace for relegation. For me, it's a coin toss. I think it's 50-50 Palace staying up next season based on the squad and what we've seen from them last year. I think that 9-4 is a very good bet. I mean, you had 9 goals from Jordan Ayew, which you wouldn't have predicted. You'd need him to do the same again. And where are the rest of the goals going to come from? I know they've made a couple of signings. Very good player from QPR, easy in the Championship. But like, I'm just really down on Crystal Palace. And then if you're specific about this game as well, there's a lot of injuries there. Sacco, Cahill, Tompkins, Van Aanholt, all expected to miss this game. Where Southampton won here in January, won 2-0 quite comfortably. Palace didn't have a single shot on target. Southampton went off about 7-4 for that game. Based on what we know now with no home crowd and the market obviously improving Southampton, I think like the 13-10 on Southampton, 90 minutes, I think is a great bet. And that's what I'd be backing this weekend.
Okay, let's hope Bruce isn't listening to any of that. Liam, what about you?
Yeah, I'd go with what Jason said. I think a Southampton win for me would be the way to go. I think there's a general consensus that Southampton should have a better campaign this year. They finished the 2019-20 season on a 7-match unbeaten run. And only Liverpool and Manchester City bettered Southampton's tally of 31 away points last season. So I think they're worth a better odds against to prevail at Selhurst Park. Walker Peters and Salisu from Real Valladolid are two modest but promising additions to what is a pretty settled squad. I think it worked in their favour that they lost Højbjerg fairly early on in the transfer window, so they've had time to adjust. And you know, look at Crystal Palace. I mean, they finished last season with 7 defeats and a draw in the last 8 matches. They looked all over the place, really. I think Etze is a good addition to you know, add some sorely needed creativity in the middle of the park. But as Jason said, they lost their corresponding fixture without registering a shot on target last season back earlier this year. And I think a Southampton win could be the way to go again.
Yeah, Mark, I'd be inclined to agree with Jason and Liam's thoughts there. Are you of similar thoughts?
I am, yeah. I'm struggling to know what to add to those two comprehensive sort of previews of the game. I suppose the only sort of added bit would be that I think some teams are better, well, maybe some teams are more handicapped by playing without a crowd than others. You'd put someone like Millwall maybe down as, you know, you wouldn't really want to go to Millwall when the Den's jumping. And I think it's probably the same with Selhurst Park. You know, it can be quite an intimidating arena to go and play. And that kind of lack of atmosphere, that lack of edge, is, I think, a bigger negative for Palace than maybe some other Premier League teams.
Okay, brilliant stuff. A clear vision for that game. Let's see if it's similar for the next one. It's West Ham United against Newcastle United. Another 3 p.m. kickoff this Saturday. That's the 12th of September. Jason, how are Paddy Power seeing this one?
Yeah, we've West Ham 11-10, the draw 12-5, and Newcastle 12-5.
And your thoughts?
Yeah, for me, it's very hard to pick a match bet for this weekend in this game. West Ham, look, David Moyes is a big concern for me, and I don't think the transfer business has been anything exceptional in the summer. Like, the biggest transfer story is probably Diagana going to West Brom. You know, David Moyes, we have him 5-2 favourites in the sack race. There was 7-1 with one bookmaker available earlier in the week, and I think that's a great bet. David Moyes, he's only on a one-year contract, so it's not like there's a big, massive payoff if, you know, West Ham decide to pull the trigger, which they have done in the past with him as well. So I think that's probably worth a look if you're looking for a 90-post bet. Newcastle, a really good transfer business, probably won't see the benefit of it for this weekend. So me, I'd be honest with you, I'd hold off here on a match bet because it's just too many unknowns coming into the new season. But maybe have a look at Moyes and the sack race.
No, that's very wise. If you don't fancy anything, Jason, I'm more than welcome to skip. Liam, in terms of a fan base, I can't think of too many clubs up and down the country more unhappy than West Ham fans at the moment.
Yeah, and I think they're entitled to be so. And I would go with Newcastle opening the season with a win and at the expense of West Ham. I think looking at Newcastle, I mean, despite the takeover, the issues that they've dealt with the last few months, I think there should be good spirits around St James's Park. Not saying there will be, but I feel like there should be, given how well they've done their business on the cheap this summer. I mean, £35 million spent on, you know, established Premier League players in Callum Wilson, Ryan Fraser and Jeff Hendricks, and then as well as exciting fullback Jamal Lewis, who, of course, you'll know all about. I mean, they had some absences for a pre-season clash with Stoke recently, but I think they should be seeing a number of key players return for this opening game of the Premier League season. Newcastle, most notably Jamal Lascelles, should be back in the starting lineup, which will give them a tremendous boost. It was in front of goal, really, where they floundered last season. Only 38 goals scored in as many Premier League matches. But Wilson and Fraser should help. Obviously, you know, the two know each other very well, but that they should help to amend that deficiency in the final third. And it doesn't take much to breach West Ham anyway. I mean, they kept only one clean sheet in their final 18 league games last season. And that was against Basement Boys Norwich. So I think the Hammers' defensive problems would make me side with Newcastle at a pretty big price, around 12-5.
Definitely good stuff, Liam. Mark, in terms of kind of transfer business, as Liam mentioned there, we've seen Newcastle make a few kind of nice additions in the past few weeks. How much do you read into them transfers in the first kind of few games of the season? Are they still gelling, or will it make a big impact?
I think it's really difficult to know. I think if they come in early enough, then I don't really have that gelling sort of argument too much. But the fact that the Newcastle sort of trio, and it's a bit, we'll get to it with Everton as well, signing the week before the season starts, particularly when there's an international break as well, and so some players are away, it's not great. And I think that maybe it might just take a little while for that to settle down. So I think it's a really tough game. I agree with Jason. The one I was looking at was Souček to score first. Now, I think it was initially suggested that he would be out of the game, but certainly one of the sort of big London news websites is suggesting that he could be available. So, I mean, I'd wait for the team news. But if he is around, I think that definitely Souček, who's he's turned into David Moyes' Fellaini, isn't he? Because he gets on the end, he gets into the box, gets on the end of the crosses. He uses him in a very similar way. I mean, he finished last season brilliantly with 3 goals in 7 matches. So in a tricky game, I was looking at maybe Souček, but, you know, make sure he starts first.
Wonderful stuff. And the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday sees Liverpool take on Leeds. In terms of Sky Sports thoughts on this, I'm sure it is very much a box office game. Jason, your fancy for this and the prices, please.
Yeah, so we've Liverpool at 2-9, the draw at 5-1, and Leeds at 8-1. We do have a free fiver bet for this game as well. All you have to do is log into your Paddy Power account and just place a bet on the match, and you'll see the free fiver token to be used. Just on this, there's a lot of stats that you hear bounded about, and some carry a lot of weight and some might give no value to whatsoever. And, you know, the kind of thing like a team hasn't won out of ground in 20 years, et cetera, et cetera. Like, well, obviously Leeds haven't been in the Premier League for a good part of that 20 years. But I just looked up the last time they won at Anfield. It was in 2001. It was late in the season. And Leeds won 2-1. Any ideas who the goal scorers were?
Oh, my goodness. That's one for Mark and Liam.
Milner?
No.
Harry Kewell, Viduka.
Yeah, all the names come back. Yeah, yeah.
Alan Smith, Seth Johnson.
Your name and everyone bar the goal scorers, which is quite impressive in
Robbie
itself.
King.
No. But this is what I love. No. this is what I love about these games, just reading all match reports. Ferdinand and Lee Boyer actually scored in the first half.
Go on, honey. Up.
And then Gerrard pulled 1-1 back in the second half before being sent off. And it was documented as being an important win in Leeds' chase for a top four place. And, you know, if you think back to that day and what has happened since, it's just beggar's belief. But to come back to the match like itself, it's hard to get involved with Liverpool at that price. So with the free fiver, I mean, Leeds at 8-1, I think, you know, it's probably worth a punt, and it's going to be a really great game to watch. The one reference point we probably have is Leeds when they went to Arsenal in the FA Cup earlier in the season. They didn't look out of place, especially in the first half. They were by far the better team in the first half. It'd be hard to do that against Liverpool, understandably, at Anfield. But, you know, I think Leeds at 8-1 with a free fiver is probably worth a poke for the crack.
I think there might be a weekly strand there, Jason, with previous Leeds United scorers in the last time they were in the Premier League. Let us know if you want it, listeners. Tweet us at Racing Post. Liam, you might think differently to me, but I'm really struggling to get on board with the hype around Leeds United. I think they'll be safe, but I'm seeing some people saying, you know, maybe European places for Leeds. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I suppose, obviously, since Wolves did what they did, every promoted club will have that in the back of their mind. Of course, you know, Sheffield United as well. I think Leeds will have a strong season. I think they'll be quite clear of the drop zone, but maybe European aspirations is a bit much this season. That said, I wouldn't put anybody off of at the price of backing Leeds with that free bet in this game, because you know, Liverpool, of course, have come off the back of you know, an arduous season. Quick transition between the seasons, and with the way that Bielsa sets Leeds up, it could be a challenging game for them. I mean, the way I'd bet with this one would simply be a both teams to score bet around 17-20. I think Liverpool should be fielding quite a strong side for this one. I think Jordan Henderson is set to come back into the fold. He'll be incredibly important for that midfield battle. Ultimately, I think, you know, Liverpool could come out on top, but it will definitely be a tough afternoon for them. Leeds have obviously added some decent players in Rodrigo from Spain, Robin Koch, the sort of physically imposing but ball playing defender, who can also kind of be pushed up into that midfielder. I think he's a very good addition, and Jack Harrison. So they've added those players to their ranks, and of course, you know, they'll be looking to set the tone for the season. A result at Anfield will be a huge way to do that. Bielsa's side won 5 of the last 6 matches on the road, and they scored 12 goals as part of that run. And Liverpool failed to keep a clean sheet in any of their last 6 competitive matches. You can never read too much into pre-season friendlies, of course. But, I mean, even against a lowly Blackpool side in a friendly last week, a strong Liverpool, to be fair, did ship twice. Like I say, you don't want to read too much into pre-season friendlies. But that's worth looking at. And I think both teams to score could be the way to go at Anfield.
Yeah, Mark, a tough start for Liverpool, that's for sure. What do you make? You were really keen on Leeds in the Championship from the off last season, and you got that spot on. They've brought in Rodrigo, Helder Costa, amongst a few others. How do you think they're going to adapt to the Premier League?
I don't think they'll have any problems. They were better than probably the bottom seven or eight last season. I think they would have gone off favourites against a lot of those kind of teams in the bottom half of the Premier League. I was speaking to Scott Minto, the new Racing Post signing, yesterday about Leeds, and he was backing them to get a draw against Liverpool in this game as well. He watched a lot of the Championship. I mean, I think they're a really a really, really good side that Sheffield United can easily adapt to the Premier League and Wolves particularly. I mean, Leeds, I felt like they were similarly rated to Wolves, if you like, in terms of they looked like a Premier League team before they even went up. I think they'll compete very well in this game. Ultimately, though, Liverpool's quality might just do for Leeds. So I was looking at Liverpool to win and under 3.5 goals. I think people get mistaken about Bielsa and a bit dreamy with him. He's not quite as attacking as what people think. I mean, Leeds' games last season averaged only 2.43 goals per game, 35% over 2.5. The way that he presses is actually a defensive mechanism to help his team as much as an attacking one. So I've mentioned it a couple of times already. I think the short week with international football is not going to do anyone any favours at this stage of the season. So we might not see too many classics. And I'm going for Liverpool to edge it. So Liverpool and under 3.5.
Great stuff, Mark. That's Saturday's action. Still Sunday and Monday's Premier League action still to go through.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Hello, welcome back to the Football Postcast for part 3. Thanks so much for joining us this week. Hopefully another good knowledge from the panel here. Let's go through two Sunday games then. It's West Brom against Leicester. That's the first of the action. That's 2:00 live on Sky Sports. Jason, again, a newly promoted side here in West Brom against Leicester. How do Paddy Power price this?
Yeah, with West Brom 11-4, the draw 5-2, and Leicester 10-11. I spoke about West Brom stuttering last four games, but probably since Christmas as well. They're really good first half of the season in the Championship, and not so great the second half, but obviously ended really well with promotion. You would have them rated a little bit better than Fulham. Relegation markets would slightly reflect that. But for me, I think West Brom, Fulham, and I've already spoken about Crystal Palace, those would be the three teams I'd say to go down this season. You can get a relegation treble there at about 20-1 on that. Whereas Leicester, really, really sweet on them in the anti-post markets last season, but want to avoid this season for sure. Post-lockdown, really poor. 8 games, 3 draws, 5 defeats. If you look at transfer business in the summer with Europa League of football on the horizon, they haven't increased the squad, I think. Ben Chilwell gone. Got Castagne in from Atalanta, who, he played probably half of Atalanta's games. They've obviously made a profit on the deal. Will he be as good as Chilwell? It'll be hard to know. And they've a lot of injuries as well coming into this game as well. So even the 10-11 is a bit short in the match betting. Johnny Evans, Christian Fuchs, Ricardo Pereira out. Chilwell gone. That's 3 out or back 4 missing from last season. And Wes Morgan's a doubt as well. So I'd avoid Leicester in this match, and I'd avoid them in the anti-post markets just with the Europa League coming around. You can get 11-4 for them to finish in the bottom half of the table, which is, I think there's a bit of value in that, especially if Jamie Vardy picks up an injury. The older you get, the more likely you are to pick up injuries. So I wouldn't touch anything in the match odds for this match, but if I was to have a poke, I'd probably have a look at Soyuncu in the goal scorer market. He's 40-1 to score the first goal, and the only reason is there's a stat here on West Brom. 44% of their goals were conceded from set pieces last season. I think that was the highest or the second highest percentage of goals conceded from set pieces by any team in the Championship last season. So maybe there is a bit of an issue there on set pieces. So Soyuncu is a big man. He hasn't got a fantastic goal record, but like I say, if you're just looking for something at a bigger price and you're watching the game, maybe have a look at Soyuncu at 40-1.
Mark, the headline in James Milton's team-by-team guide in the big kickoff was "Don't define Foxes by their poor finish." Do you see Leicester making a quick start here?
No, don't know who did that headline. Sack them. I think it's unfair to define them by that because they had a lot of injuries and it was an unnatural time of the season because they were playing, everybody was playing every 3 days. And if you had to play, the remainder of the season when, so many key men are injured, then you're going to drop points. But the fact is that most of those players are not playing again. So I do think it makes them slightly more vulnerable. I mean, I'd have a big negative about West Brom for this whole season, really, but might be able to get a draw in this game. I'm just not sure, really, in terms of like them trying to win the game, the Baggies, not sure who's going to score their goals. Zahora, Austin, Robson, Kanu, not mad on any of them. There's a bit of creativity sort of in that attacking midfield area through Pereira and Dean Garner. But even those players, I think Pereira will be great in the Premier League, but not sure about, question marks over a lot of their players. A tricky game. I wouldn't be putting Leicester in the Akers, that's for sure. Might be a low score. I'll go a draw.
Liam, what about you?
I'm comfortable to back Leicester in this one. A shade of odds on. I think just looking at West Brom's squad, I mean, there's been pretty limited investment in this transfer window. Grady, Dion Garner looks a good addition, but I don't think they've really got any game-changing players in there. They won only 3 of their 9 league matches after lockdown last season. Look at Leicester. They lost only 1 of their 6 matches last season against newly promoted clubs. And it was typically against the league's bigger sides where they fluffed their lines last season, which cost them a top 4 spot in the end. I think they were actually quite good at putting away the lesser lights of the division. I think Castagne is a versatile addition at fullback, especially with the Chilwell departure. I do agree with what Jason's saying. I'm not too keen on Leicester in terms of anti-post bets this season, but in terms of this opening weekend fixture, I would be quite happy to back them.
Lovely. And into the 4:30 kickoff on Sunday, sees Tottenham Hotspur take on Everton. This is it's going to be an exciting one, Jason. And what's your fancy here?
Yeah, we've Spurs 4-5. We've the draw 5-2 and Everton 10-3. Spurs, yeah, like the documentary has been a very good watch so far, 2 episodes into it. If Son and Kane stay fit, there's a lot of attacking support there in the likes of Ali, Lucas Moura, Bergwijn when he came in. And, there are a couple of shrewd additions, I think, in Hullberg and Doherty. So the Spurs can have a good season under Mourinho for sure. Whereas Everton, I think the transfer business Everton have done, they probably have about 6 or 7 lads that can kind of play in that centre midfield road. And, they brought Alan in, which is a very good addition. But the likes of Andre Gomez and Fabian Delph, as well as Sigurdsson, like adding, the likes of James Rodriguez on top of that. I don't necessarily think that Everton's, their business looks good on paper. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Rodriguez, what he did at Colombia, the World Cup, coming from Real Madrid, it's a signing that gets fans excited. But, Real Madrid signed them off the back of a World Cup performance. You think back to Poporski going to United after the Euros, players can blow hot for a summer and then not quite ever live up to that. So it is an exciting signing for Everton fans, but I still don't think that they've got a squad that's going to really challenge anything like the top 6 coming into the season, whereas Spurs, I'd be much happier with their squad coming into it. In terms of a match bet for this weekend, I'd actually have to go against it, and I don't think it's going to be the most exciting of games. If you look when they played on the 6th of July, it finished 1-0. It was an own goal by Michael Keane. The XG for the game was, half a goal versus 0.4 of a goal. So I think it's going to be quite tight, quite cagey. But at the prices, I wouldn't back Spurs at 4-5 there. Definitely not. They went off at about 10-11 for that game that I was speaking about. So for me, if you wanted a bet for the game, Everton and the draw is actually the bet at about 10-11. Have a look in the double chance market. I just can't wait for the season to start and just see how all these signings, these managers, all the stories and narratives, how they're going to play out over the season. It's just going to be fascinating.
It's going to be brilliant, isn't it? Liam, there seems real excitement amongst the Everton camp at the moment. Is this the season in which they make some progression?
Yeah, I think I see them finishing higher up the table, most definitely. Just how big an impact those 3 midfield signings has remains to be seen. I think they'll start the season actually with a defeat away to Tottenham. I like Tottenham at 5-6. I still think Tottenham are a few players short of pushing for the top four this season. I really think a left-footed centre-back to replace Jan Vertonghen is probably still needed. But I think they should get the better of Everton. I mean, Spurs did finish the season strongly when, you know, they still had incentive to win matches, most definitely, with obviously the knowledge that if Arsenal won the FA Cup, they could have been put out of Europe entirely. So, we saw them unbeaten in their last five home matches, drew with Manchester United, beat West Ham, Everton, Arsenal and Leicester at home towards the end of the 2019-20 campaign. As I said, Everton have improved their midfield significantly this summer with Alan, James Rodriguez and Abdoulaye Doucouré, but we should help them in fairness in bigger contests in future. But I just think that this squad is going to take time to galvanise after a disappointing end to last season. And they lost 11 of their 19 away fixtures last term in the Premier League. So I'd fancy Tottenham in this one.
Mark, have you been enjoying the Amazon documentary?
I haven't seen any of it other than sort of the clips that go around. I mean, it's just a Jose Mourinho show, isn't it, really? In terms of this game, I do like Spurs. I was hoping for a little bit of a bigger price on them. I just think Everton have made these signings that definitely improved them. I think they've made them like too late for this game to have a major impact. Spurs had a terrible time, before lockdown, but most of that was down to the fact that Kane and Son were injured. Such a big part of their game. I would take Tottenham to win. If you're looking to juice up the price, maybe Tottenham to win by one goal, because, you know, with no crowd there particularly, if Spurs get in front, Mourinho will just shut the game down. He's no real incentive to go and put on a show for anyone other than himself.
Let's go into Monday's games then. 8 p.m. Brighton and Hove Albion against Chelsea. Jason, this is going to be an interesting one. Chelsea fancied by quite a lot to do good things this season. I mean, Bruce is really keen on them to go and win the division outright, which seems bold. But with the transfer business they've made, you can kind of understand the argument.
Absolutely, yeah. No, you can understand the argument for sure. I thought Frank Lampard did really well last season. There was a criticism that, you know, Sarri won a Europa League and ended up with so many points more than what Lampard got. But, you know, the big difference was Sarri had Hazard. If you take Hazard out of the team, you know, that makes a big difference in terms of points in the league. Or if Hazard plays in the FA Cup final against Arsenal, it's possibly a different result there. So Lampard had a good season, but this is a new test for him to get this high quality of players in, and can he coach them to put something together that would challenge for the title? Even if he gets the best out of him, I still think it's a big gap to close it. So I wouldn't personally be back in Chelsea to win the league this year. One big concern that they had from last season was they conceded 11 goals from headers, 10 goals directly from corners. That's the most in terms of headed goals they conceded since 2000-2001 season. And if you think over that period, obviously John Terry was a mainstay. You had a real solid goalkeeper in Peter Cech for most of it. It just goes to show the uncertainty that was in that Chelsea backline last season. Going to get a little bit technical, but just to try and give a bit of a stat to support Kepa's performance or criticise it last season. If you look at a goalkeeper, what he's expected to save, you know, the same way we talk about expected goals, for every game he played last season, he let in 0.3 of a goal more than expected, which is the worst performance by any keeper in the league last season. And to give it context, that is the equivalent of Barcelona going out and playing every game in the league without Messi. That's how much Kepa's performances hampered Chelsea last season. Wow. Now, he can't be that bad again, or else they'll change it up. I think Thiago Silva is going to make a big difference if he's on the pitch and even off the pitch. Like I say, that weakness in terms of headed goals and corners, you'd like to think his experience coming in there has got to make a bit of a difference to that. So I think Chelsea will have a good season, you know, better than what they had last season. It's inevitable when you sign that quality. But in terms for this match, the match betting is Brighton 4-1, the draw 3-1, Chelsea 4-7. It is just a little bit short for the unknowns still that are involved first day of the season. So what I would suggest, because of those defensive issues that I alluded to, you can get Lewis Dunk. Most of the market has him about 20-22-1 to score the first goal. There is one bookmaker offering 33-1 on Lewis Dunk to score the first goal. Given Chelsea's defensive issues, I'll be having a punt on that this weekend.
That's a damning statistic regarding Kepa, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant, Jason. Mark, what about you? What do you think here?
I wouldn't be smashing into Chelsea. I wouldn't have thought. I do expect them to win, but Brighton can be awkward opponents, definitely. The way I was looking to bet on this one was, in terms of a tip, was probably draw half time and Chelsea full time, just because I like the fact that Chelsea have got a lot of depth now to their squad, so they can change games either in terms of, you know, formation or style. They've got different players to fulfil different roles now. And Brighton may just struggle to hold them out for the entire 90 minutes. And I think Timo Werner, you know, adds something very different to this Chelsea team. I mean, Giroud's past his best. Tammy Abraham, still not absolutely certain he's going to become top class, whereas we know that Timo Werner is. So I expect Werner to be the difference in that second half.
Liam, what do you reckon?
I'll be going for a first goal scorer bet in this one. Kai Havertz to score first in this one at 11-2. Only Liverpool and Man City netted more Premier League goals than Chelsea last term. They got 69 last season. And I mean, they're only going to be stronger in the final third of this campaign, with obviously Timo Werner, Hakim Ziyech and Kai Havertz brought in. And if he's fit, Christian Pulisic should join him in what is an absolutely superb front four. And at the prices, Havertz looks the best of the lot to open the score. And he, at Leverkusen, he was used to playing on the wing in a number 10 role and up top as an out-to-out striker post-lockdown. So he should be effective wherever he's deployed in that front four, really. After lockdown, he scored the first goal against Werder Bremen, Gladbach and Freiburg in the Bundesliga as part of a tally of 12 league goals and 18 in all competitions last season. Brighton, not fast starters by any means last term. They led at the break in only 8 of their 38 league assignments. And if they go behind, then I think Havertz, the new Chelsea wonder kid, is a good bet to open the scoring.
And the final game of the Premier League opening game week sees Sheffield United to take on Wolverhampton Wanderers. Jason, two sides here who had marvellous campaigns last time out. Do you expect them to go well again?
Yeah, I'd expect both of them to have good seasons. Just to touch on Wolves first, no Europa League, that's like 16, 17 games less than what they had last season. Did no injuries of notes last season. That's partly down to skill, but also a bit of luck. But if Wolves have no injuries or get the same run of luck this season, I think they're great value in anti-post markets, especially in the head-to-head betting. If you look at them against Tottenham, Arsenal and Leicester, you can get them 6-4 against Tottenham. They only finished a point behind them last season. 15-8 on Arsenal. They actually finished 3 points ahead of Arsenal last season. And 4-5 on Leicester. They finished 3 points behind Leicester last season. All those other teams are involved in the Europa League. So I think Wolves at those prices are fantastic bets in the head-to-head betting. In terms of Sheffield United, there is the question mark over, you know, second season syndrome. If they achieve top 10 again, I think that would be a fantastic result. If you go back to 2016, they finished 11th in English League One. They finished 9th in the Premier League last year after 4 years. That's like something you only see on Championship Manager, and probably with a bit of cheating going on as well. Like, that's an unbelievable run of results that Chris Wilder has got. Again, just to get a little bit technical, the big transfer, obviously, business in Sheffield United is Dean Henderson coming out and Ramsdale coming in. In terms of Ramsdale's performance for Bournemouth last season, based on the quality of shots faced, he was expected to concede 61 goals. That's why he conceded 61 goals. So it was an average goalkeeper performance last season by Ramsdale, whereas Dean Henderson overperformed by about 0.12 of a goal every game. So if we presume that Ramsdale's going to perform like he did last season for Bournemouth, it means we're going to see a bit of regression in terms of Sheffield United's defensive output this season. And what that would mean, the difference that would mean, is top 10 at the moment are 3-1 to finish top 10, 4-1 for relegation. If you adjust your ratings and make Sheffield United 0.1, 0.12 of a goal worse, allowing for Henderson going and Ramsdale coming in, it means their top 10 price goes from 3-1 to 4-1 and the relegation price goes from 4-1 to 3-1. So the difference of the goalkeeper there is, you know, with Henderson, they're probably looking at a top 10. With Ramsdale, they're probably just still looking over their shoulder in terms of relegation. And that's just to try and give a bit of a flavour in terms of odds compiling and ratings, how you try to adjust and account for these when you're looking at anti-post betting and pricing. But in terms of the match betting, it's 11-5 Sheffield United. It's 2-1 to draw, and Wolves 7-5. Wolves actually went off even money for this game in lockdown, and Sheffield United won 1-0 through a 93rd minute goal from Egan. I think the 7-5 is still short. The evens was really short. The 7-5 is too short, and I don't think there's actually any value in the match betting. But I would be very keen anti-post on getting with Wolves in the positive markets. And Sheffield United, I think if they got top 10 again, it would be a fantastic performance again from Chris Wilder and his team.
That's a fascinating look at how you price things up, Jason. Thanks so much for that. Liam, how do you see this this affair going?
I'll go with Sheffield United for this one. I mean, you can say what you want about the home advantage with no fans at the moment, but they were nonetheless very comfortable at Bramall Lane last season. 8 of their 12 league wins come in there last term. And that included a 1-0 success against Wolves recently as July. I can't help but feel Wolves are going to be slow starters this term. I mean, they used only 21 players in the Premier League last season, the lowest number in the division, and of course were involved in a Europa League campaign which stretched into August. They've added a couple of numbers, but you know, Fabio Silva and Marcal, and of course a new addition of the Porto midfielder on loan today. But I still don't think that squad is necessarily quite big enough to have coped with the exertion of the last year. You know, we forget how early they started, you know, the qualifying campaign last season as well. So I think they could be a touch hungover going into this season, whereas Chris Wilder will have the Sheffield United group well drilled, eager to prove a point that last season was no fluke. And I think the additions of Lowe and Bogle are two great defensive players to add to that squad and can help them start the season with maximum points. So Sheffield United win for me.
Mark, I'll give you the final say on the Premier League fixtures for this week.
Yeah, I think the draw was the one that stood out to me. They had 26 stalemates between them last season. Agree with Jason. I think Ramsdale is a big downgrade on Henderson. That's not necessarily a negative against Ramsdale. It's just that Henderson, you know, could end up becoming sort of England's goalkeeper sort of sooner rather than later, given his quality. So that would be the big question mark against Sheffield United. The one against Wolves that I've got is just the fact that it wasn't that long ago they were playing in the Europa League quarterfinals against Sevilla. I mean, I feel like they maybe should have had a bit more time off as well, like some of the other teams that were competing in Europe, such as Manchester City. So quick turnaround, not great for them. Expect them to get better as the season goes on.
There we go then. That's all 8 Premier League fixtures sorted for this week. Let's have a quick look at any other fancies from the gents across any other divisions that they may have interest in. Let's make this fairly snappy. Jason, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so anti-post bets, we've Sevilla in the bet without Real Madrid and let go of Madrid market. You can get 6-1 with other bookmakers out there. Definitely worth a look. Union Berlin, bottom two finish at 9-4 in the German Bundesliga. And AC Milan, top four finish at 6-4 in Serie A. What I do want to just give a quick call out to is the Paddy Power specials team, the What Odds Paddy's season specials that they have. There's some really good selections out there. For example, Vardy, Ings, Kane, Rashford, Sterling, the score 100 goals between them or more, it's 20-1. They actually did achieve this last season, so you're getting 20-1 on something that actually happened last season. The most interesting one that I really like is Rashford, Martial and Greenwood to outscore Salah, Mane and Firmino in the Premier League this season. It's 10-1. What do you think? What was the gap between that last year, do you reckon?
Wouldn't have been many, I don't think. 5, 6?
It was actually 2. It was 46 goals. Pool 44 for United. So, you know, you'd never wish an injury on anyone, but like, you know, even the fact if one of those Liverpool players picked up an injury, maybe Greenwood doesn't play as much as he did last season. He did outperform XG with some fantastic finishing. That's probably not going to be his norm. If it is, Jesus, happy days. But I think, you know, 10-1, that's a great fun bet. Or even Man City to score in every Premier League game, 10-1. So have a look at the What Odds Paddy's anti-post specials there. There's some really interesting ones and you can pick out some at really good prices, big prices, give you a bit of interest for the season.
My anti-post portfolio is growing by the hour at this rate. So thanks for that, Jason. Liam, I know you like usually gallivanting into Europe for a few other fancies. Is that going to be the case this week?
Yeah, definitely. Yes, I've got a couple of quick outright tips for you. First of all, my big one for the season actually is Hoffenheim to make the top four in the Bundesliga at 11-2. They've finished in a challenge. Champions League spots as recently as the 2017-18 season, albeit with Julian Nagelsmann at the time, but finished sixth last season. But it's worth noting they had Andre Kramaric out for most of that campaign, and their other top forward, Mohamed De Boer, only joined in January. But the pair still managed 18 goals between them, and I think they've got makings of a real deadly partnership if fully fit this term. Mijak Gacinovic is a shrewd addition in midfield. They ended the season with comprehensive wins over Augsburg, Union Berlin and Borussia Dortmund. And you look elsewhere, I mean, Leipzig lost Werner, Leverkusen lost Havertz. So I think there could be a surprise in this market this season. And Hoffenheim at 11-2 to finish in the top four, I think would be a good bet. And my other outright fancy across Europe would be Inter Milan to win Serie A at 2-1. Juventus's tally of six league defeats last term was their highest in the division since the 2010-11 season. Inter Milan scored more and conceded fewer goals than Juventus last season and finished only a point behind them. Not convinced at all by the appointment of Andrea Pirlo. I think it's one that just reeks of nostalgia, really, more than anything else. I think he'll struggle to keep tabs on the big egos in that Juventus squad. Inter, meanwhile, kept their squad together, made those loan additions permanent, and brought in Ashraf Hakimi. Looks a good buy, good fit to their system. And they got, you know, the best attacking duo in the league in Lautaro Martinez and Romelu Lukaku. So that might be my two outright bets. And in terms of a bet for this weekend in France, I like the Rennes to beat Nîmes at 5-4. Rennes started the season with a draw against Lille, 2-1 win over Montpellier. They had Martin Terrier sent off last time. They got plenty of attacking depth, likes of Serhou Guirassy and Mbaye Niang, Adrien Unu and Rafinha all up front. They look like they've got a good attacking unit this season. They deserve to beat Lille on the opening day. One shot count, 16-5 on that occasion. And Nîmes lost to Nantes last time out, despite having a man's advantage in the second half. So Rennes to beat Nîmes would be my bet for the weekend.
A comprehensive look through Europe. Great stuff, gents. Right, time for the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, if you're new to the show, then this is the section where the gents give their best bets of the week and Paddy Power will enhance the treble. We had a few winners last season, so hopefully we get off to a quick start here. And Jason, we'll start with your nap.
Yeah, for reasons outlined earlier, Southampton at 13-10. Like I said, they went off 7-4 in a packed Selhurst Park in January, 1-2-0, didn't allow Palace to have a shot on target, and Southampton have only improved since then, and Palace are going in the wrong direction. So for me, Southampton happily put them in at the nap at current prices are around 5-4, 13-10.
Southampton in for Jason. Liam, who are you picking?
I'm going to go with Cardiff to beat Sheffield Wednesday around even money. Cardiff, obviously, as I already mentioned, enjoyed a massive turnaround when they replaced Neil Warnock with Neil Harris last season. Finished last term, 7 wins from their final 10 games. Added Kiefer Moore to their ranks, and they should have enough to overcome a Sheffield Wednesday side who's, you know, of course, their morale would have been hit by starting the season on minus 12 points. And, of course, lost Stephen Fletcher and Fernando Forestieri. So Cardiff to beat Sheffield Wednesday.
And Mark.
Yeah, my nap is Villarreal to beat Huesca in the opening weekend in Spain. I really like Villarreal this year. They've signed some excellent players, Parejo from Valencia being one of those. And Unai Emery, I think this job will suit him a lot more. So hopefully they'll be the home bankers.
Okay, so the nap treble this week, which will be enhanced on the Paddy Power website. We'll link it in the description of this, or just head over to the Paddy Power website and you should be able to find it easy enough. It's Cardiff, Southampton and Villarreal. Thanks so much to Liam, Mark and Jason for joining me this week. We'll be back next week for another football podcast. Hopefully that was a comprehensive look at both the season and also this week's games. If you are having a bet, though, please remember to gamble responsibly and we'll see you all very soon. Bye-bye.